The summer I turned 21, Baba sold his car and bought a dilapidated Volkswagen bus. On Saturday, he'd wake me at dawn. We'd scan the classifieds in the local paper and circle the garage sales. We bought knickknacks that people no longer wanted. Then early Sunday morning, we drove to San Jose Flea Market and sold the junk for a small profit. By that summer, Afghan families were working an entire section of the market. There was an unspoken code of behavior. You greeted the guy across the aisle. You invited him for a bite of potato bolani and you chatted. Tea, politics, and scandal, the ingredients of an Afghan Sunday at the flea market. Baba sauntered down the aisle greeting people he knew from Kabul. One Sunday morning, he came back to our store with a distinguished-looking man he introduced as General Tahiri. Why did that name sound familiar? The general put his hand on Baba's shoulder.
Your father and I hunted pheasants together one summer in Jalalabad. If I recall correctly, your father's eye proved as keen in the hunt as it had in business.
Baba kicked a wooden tennis racket on our tarpaulin spread.
Some business.
The general patted his shoulder.
Life goes on.
Badarjan, you forgot your tea. A young woman's voice. She was standing behind us. A slim, hip beauty with velvety, coal black hair. An open thermos in her hand. The general took the tea.
You're so kind, my dear.
Before she turned to go, I saw a brown, sickle-shaped birthmark on the smooth skin, just above her left jawline. She walked to a dull grey van 2 aisles away.
My daughter Soraya.
General Tahiri took a deep breath like a man eager to change the subject and checked his gold pocket watch.
Well, time to go and set up.
For the rest of that day, I fought the urge to look towards the grey van. It came to me on our way home. Tahiri. Wasn't there some story floating around about Tahiri's daughter? I asked casually.
You know me, Baba said. Talk turns to gossip, and I walk away. He looked at me coyly.
Why do you ask?
I shrugged.
All I've heard is there was a man once, and things didn't go well.
He said this gravely, as if he disclosed she had breast cancer.
Oh.
I hear she's a decent girl, hardworking and kind. But no suitors have knocked on the general's door since. It may be unfair, but it's what happens.
Laying awake in bed that night, I thought of Soraya Tahiri's sickle-shaped birthmark and the way her luminous eyes had fleetingly held mine. On Sunday, I invented an excuse to stroll past the Tahiri stand, which Baba acknowledged with a playful smirk. Sometimes Soraya sat alone, the general off to some other row to socialize. I promised myself I'd talk to her before the summer was over. Then one sweltering Sunday, I spotted the Tahiri van next to a kiosk selling mangoes on a stick. She was alone, greeting. Salam. I didn't mean to disturb you. Is General Saib here today? She pointed to her right. Her bracelet slipped down to her elbow, silver against olive. Will you tell him I stopped by to pay my respects? My name is Amir. I began to leave, stopped, and turned. I said it before I had a chance to lose my nerve. Can I ask you what you're reading? I felt the collective eyes of the flea market shift to us. This was teetering dangerously on the verge of gossip material. By Afghan standards, my question had been bold. Would she take my dare? She turned the book so the cover faced me.
Wuthering Heights. Have you read it?
I nodded.
Sad stories make good books, she said.
As we started chatting, her eyes flicked from side to side, checking for the general, I suppose. I was about to take my leave when her mother came up the aisle with a bag of fruit. When she saw us, Her eyes bounced from Soraya to me and back. She smiled.
Amirjan, my husband has told me all about you. It's good to see you. How is your father?
He's well, thank you.
You know your grandfather, the judge? Now his uncle and my grandfather were cousins. So you see we're related.
She smiled again. If I was going to have an adversary, it wouldn't be her.
For a few weeks after that, I'd wait until the general went for a stroll, then walked past the Tahiri stand. If Soraya's mother was there, she'd offer me tea. I liked it when she was there. Soraya was more relaxed, more talkative, as if her mother's presence legitimized whatever was happening between us. That summer, Baba caught a cold. It started with a hacking cough and sniffles. He got over the sniffles, but the cough persisted. 2 weeks later, I caught him coughing blood-stained phlegm into the toilet. I took him to the doctor, who referred him to the pulmonary clinic. He's got a spot on his lung, the young doctor said.
Cancer? Baba asked casually.
Possible. It's suspicious, anyway. The specialist was a softly spoken Iranian. He told us he'd have to perform a bronchoscopy to get a piece of the lung mass for pathology. As I helped Baba out of the office, I turned over the new word in my mind. Mass seemed even more ominous than suspicious. It turned out that, like Satan, cancer had many names. Baba's was called oat cell carcinoma, inoperable. He refused any palliative treatment. When we got home, I said, I wish you'd give the chemotherapy a chance.
I've made my decision, he growled. And one more thing. No one finds out about this, you hear me? I don't want anybody's sympathy.
For a while, even cancer couldn't keep Baba from the flea market. Then one cool Sunday, he was selling a lampshade, whilst I was rummaging in the van for a blanket to cover his legs, when his customer yelled, "Hey man, this guy needs help!" I turned round, and I found Baba on the ground, his arms and legs jerking. A crowd gathered. I heard the word seizure, a voice calling 911. At the hospital, the doctor took me out of the room. The cancer's metastasized. He'll have to take steroids to reduce the swelling in his brain. And I'd recommend palliative radiation. Do you know what that means? I did. I'd become conversant in cancer talk. I spent the night sitting on a chair next to Baba's bed. The next morning, the waiting room was jammed with Afghans. They filed in and paid Baba their respects in hushed tones. Mid-morning, General Tahiri and his wife came. Soraya followed. We glanced at each other, looked away at the same time. The general took Baba's hand.
How are you, my friend?
Baba motioned to the IV hanging from his arm, smiled thinly. The general smiled back.
Do you need anything? Anything at all? Ask me, like you'd ask a brother.
As Baba shook his head, I remembered something he'd once said about Pashtuns.
We may be hard-headed, and I know we're far too proud. But in the hour of need, believe me, there is no one you'd rather have at your side.
The general turned to me.
How are you, Amirjan?
The kindness in his eyes caused a lump in my throat. I bolted from the room and my eyes filled with tears. Soraya followed.
I'm so sorry, Amir. We all knew something was wrong, but we had no idea it was this.
I blotted my eyes with my sleeve. He didn't want anyone to know. She put a hand on mine. Our first touch. They discharged Baba 2 days later. That night he lay on the couch under a wool blanket. I brought him hot tea and roasted almonds, wrapped my arms around his back, and pulled him up much too easily.
Can I do anything else for you, Baba?
Nah, thank you.
I sat beside him. Then I wonder if you'll do something for me, if you're not too exhausted.
What?
I want you to ask General Tahiri for his daughter's hand.
Baba's dry lips stretched into a smile.
Are you sure?
More sure than I've ever been about anything. The next morning, I stopped outside the Tahiri's flat. As I drove away, Baba was in the rearview mirror, hobbling up the drive for one last fatherly duty. As instructed, I went home and waited. The phone rang just before noon.
The general accepted.
I sat down, my hand shaking. He did?
Yes, but Saraya wants to talk to you first.
There was a click, and then Saraya's voice. Amir? I was smiling. I'm so happy I don't know what to say.
I'm happy too, but listen. There's something you need to know. I don't want us to start with secrets, and I'd rather you hear it from me.
If it'll make you feel better, but it won't change anything. There was a pause at the other end.
When we lived in Virginia, I ran away with an Afghan man. I was 18, rebellious, stupid, and he was into drugs. We lived together for almost a month. My father eventually found us and made me come home. I was hysterical. I said I hated him. When I got back, I saw my mother had had a stroke. The right side of her face was paralyzed. I felt so guilty. She didn't deserve that. My father moved her to California shortly after.
There was a silence.
How are you and your father now? We've always had our differences, but I am grateful he came for me. I really believe he saved me. Does what I told you bother you?
A little. I owed her the truth, but I'd pondered this a lot in the weeks before I asked Baba to go to her parents. And in the end, the question that always came back to me was this. How could I, of all people, chastise someone for their past?
Does it bother you enough to change your mind?
No, Saraya. Not even close. She broke into tears. I envied her. Her secret was out, dealt with. I opened my mouth and almost told her how I betrayed Hassan, driven him out, destroyed a 40-year relationship between Baba and Ali. But I didn't. I suspected there were many ways in which Saraya Tahiri was a better person than me. Courage was just one of them.